Welcome, friends. You are listening to the Her God Story podcast, where you will always hear a good story to encourage and inspire you in your walk with the Lord. I am so glad you tuned in. I'm your host, Jody Kiracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and traveler on this journey with Jesus. Would you take a moment and review this podcast on your favorite streaming platform or by clicking on the review this show in our show description? It will help others find our show so they can be encouraged in their faith too. And have you gotten your free 6-week devotional on Women of the Bible yet? If not, just go to hergodstory.org where you can get a free download. God will use it to minister to you in so many ways. So that's hergodstory.org for your free devotional. When you were young, did you have dreams of what your life would be like? I sure did. But my life did not go exactly as I hoped. Even though I have experienced some disappointment and heartache along the way, even though my earthly expectations were not met in every area, God has taken me and made my life fuller, more exciting, and richer than I could ever have imagined. Proverbs 3:5-6 in the New International Version tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Then further down in verses 13 through 18, we are assured, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life are in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed." When we trust in the Lord and submit our ways to him, that is an example of fearing the Lord, holding him in awe, which is the beginning of wisdom. And when we find wisdom and hold fast, God makes our paths straight. He gives us peace, and we are blessed. My guest, Ellie Anderson, has learned this. She has had to trust God when life did not go as she expected, when she's experienced heartbreak, when the way ahead looked uncertain, and she's found Proverbs 3 to be true. Ellie now serves as a patient advocate for the Crisis Pregnancy Center of Hampton Roads, but has also served as a nurse, a pastor's wife, and a homeschooling mom. Ellie and her husband, Bruce, have 4 adult children and 6 grandchildren. As you listen to Ellie, you will learn how to trust God with your life and your family. Welcome, Ellie.
Thank you, Jody. It's great to be here.
Ellie, you grew up in small town Iowa. Tell us a little about yourself and what life was like and how you met Jesus.
I just want to go back to what you said earlier, though, just about the wisdom of God yielding a better return than gold. It is just so true. And I hope as I share my life with all of you, you'll see that, you know, my life yielded a ton of stuff I never expected, but it was truly better than I expected. So, I grew up in a very small town in Iowa, 5,000 people. You know, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was the publisher of the newspaper in that small town. I was the youngest of 4 girls. It was a nominally Christian home, I would say. We went to the Methodist church, but often we were dropped off for Sunday school. So, we didn't read the Bible together in our home. The only time we prayed for our meals was on Sunday. My dad would say the same prayer every Sunday, but he did pray. And I appreciate that because that did impact me. You know, my picture of life was very simple. You know, thankfully, you know, my oldest sister was 10 years older than me. And she shared Jesus with me when I was 12. So that's when I came to know the Lord, felt the weight of my sin lift. And for many years, you know, she was my spiritual mother and guided me. So much to be thankful for. But yeah, I didn't have a lot of large ambitions, even as I got into high school. But, you know, I believe God uses all of our personal circumstances to prepare us.
You know, as a young believer, you were young both physically and spiritually, right? How did you grow in your understanding of God and in your faith? Where did you turn to learn about God after you felt the weight of your sins rolled off of you?
First of all, my sister, Stephanie, who led me to the Lord, she was amazing. She would write me letters about Jesus. She bought me my very first Bible. But she was in Dallas, Texas, and I was in Iowa. And so, you know, we didn't have a lot of, you know, time together. In high school, I got involved in a young Christian group, had some awesome Christian leaders that really showed what being a Christian truly meant. I was part of a small group in high school called Campus Life. I got involved in a small Bible study with a precious woman named Charmaine, who, attempted to disciple me and a few of my friends. We called it our LUG group, which stood for Living Under God. I'm so thankful as I look back at that. My sister Sarah, who was just 2 years older than me, we were kind of walking this early walk with Christ together. And so that was sweet to have Sarah there. So, you know, we attended church together, sought out a good Bible-believing church in college. And so that's kind of how we, you know, started to grow closer to the Lord.
Yeah, so in college, you actually pursued nursing. And life was proceeding pretty much as you planned when you met your future husband. Share about that and how that was the beginning of really learning how to trust God.
So I really didn't know what a truly submitted Christian marriage looked like until I began to meet some married couples in my campus church. I was in nursing school. My mom was a nurse. My grandmother was a nurse. I was always wanted to be a nurse from the time I was a little girl, and they bought me the dress up nursing outfit, you know, that I have my picture taken of, you know, when I was probably 8 or 10 years old. So I pursued that. But as soon as I got to college, got in a Bible believing church. I met my husband my sophomore year. We actually attended the same church one day. He had been invited by a friend. And we ended up all having lunch together. There were all kinds of funny, interesting connections that I won't go into in that whole thing, but it's pretty neat to look back on. But we started dating, and eventually I particularly felt convicted that I just wasn't sure that Bruce was to be my husband, and I had been encouraged to be patient, to wait, to not spend a lot of time dating all kinds of people, you know, trying to figure that out. And so we broke up for a time. And, you know, we were encouraged in our church to just pray for our future spouse. And so I did that, you know, but I could not get Bruce off my mind for the next year. He had so particular, even in just those early few months of dating, he actually had newly recommitted his life to the Lord when I met him, but he was passionate, and I was so impressed with his wisdom and his strong conviction, and I just began to desire a truly godly man to walk beside in marriage, and just again, this was not my experience as a child. This, my dad was not a spiritual leader in our home. He was a wonderful dad, and I want to honor him today because I believe he was influenced by the Word of God, even though he didn't totally know it. There was a lot of Judeo-Christian tradition that came, you know, down through generations at that time, that definitely were part of our family and our growing up. So I'm grateful for that. But anyway, I began to pray. And of course, eventually, I went and just talked to my pastor's wife and told her, you know what, I'm just praying about my husband and I just can't get Bruce off my mind. So I'm just submitting that to you and just asking you to pray with me. And she did. And it was interesting, about the exact same time Bruce had gone to talk to her husband, our pastor, and shared basically the same thing with him. He had been praying for his future wife and was thinking of me. So eventually he proposed, and we actually got married while we were still in school, which is crazy. May 24th, 1986. So we're about to celebrate our 38th anniversary.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So you didn't know each other real well when you got married because you hadn't dated all that long and you were in college. So, you know, how do you get to know one another? But after college, you went into nursing and Bruce went into campus ministry. But then he started having a desire to go for future seminary. And you talked about it, decided you would trust the Lord. And you packed up and moved to Virginia, which was a little out of your comfort zone, I think, right?
Absolutely out of my comfort zone. I always say Bruce is the risk taker and I am the stay in my safe box, Iowa girl. So, you know, little did I know God was going to stretch me and shape me through often through my husband and what he brought to me through him. So, yeah, I was a little shocked when he said he wanted to move to Virginia, clear across the United States. but, you know, I trusted his wisdom. I trusted his gifts. Actually, to tell you the truth, though our parents were a bit shocked, both our parents' families were in Iowa, though they were a bit shocked. I think they felt like, okay, this is more legitimate, you know, because Bruce was in campus ministry. He did have some training, but it wasn't a degree. You know, they supported us.
Yeah. So it was a stretch for you moving out of your comfort zone. But what did God have in store for you in Virginia?
So much. Yeah, we landed here. Neither one of us had a job when we got here. We already had two small children when we arrived. We took this gigantic U-Haul, pulling our one little car behind it. The four of us, because we had a three-year-old daughter and a one-year-old son, almost three, almost one, drove, you know, from the middle of the country to the East Coast. It was like the biggest adventure I'd ever taken in my life. And, you know, Hampton Roads, we were moving actually to Chesapeake because he was going to go to Regent University in Virginia Beach. But our apartment that we had found was in Chesapeake. But, you know, it's a big area, a lot of highways, very different than a college town. We had been living in Iowa City where we both went to college. I got a job right away at Mary V. Hospital. At the time, I was a postpartum nurse. I worked 3 to 11 shift. Bruce worked at Regent in admissions. He worked during the day, so we were just tag teaming it with the kids. We didn't really have to have, only once did we have to actually get a babysitter for the kids when he had a night class. Yeah, the Lord was with us, but it was definitely new.
How did you connect when you got there with others? Certainly at a university, you can find connections. But for you who weren't a student, where did you find that group? And how did God connect you? And how did you grow in that time when Bruce was immersed, of course, in seminary training? But what was God doing in you? And how did he do it?
Well, you know, it's funny. We were part of a non-denominational church in Iowa. And before we moved out here, Bruce, you know, got a list probably from Regent of all the churches in the area. And he was focusing in on this large church, Kempsville Presbyterian Church. I was like, seriously, Presbyterian? He goes, yeah. He goes, I just really think this is a good church. We did visit a couple churches. I think we only visited three. But as soon as we landed in KPC, actually, there was a missionary family, a couple up there sharing that week. And they truly impressed us. And we just knew we were home. And so we got very, joined Kempsville Presbyterian Church. It was a large church. There were a lot of young families, a lot of young homeschooling families, although, you know, I hadn't started that journey yet. But I just was meeting a lot of other women, older women who had walked a little bit further along the road than I had. And they mentored me, and it was just a wonderful place to connect. And we did connect. I got involved in a group called MOPS, which stood for Mothers of Preschoolers. And that was a really incredible place for me to connect with other young mothers, meet other young mothers. And so it was just a gradual process. Of course, it's never easy to make friends. But I felt like it happened pretty naturally and quickly. And so I really felt God's grace.
Once you started feeling safe again, comfortable and at home, God asked you to take another big step of faith when you and Bruce decided to actually homeschool your kids. So you were around some moms who were homeschooling, but that was outside your comfort zone. Tell us about that, and tell us how you all intentionally taught your children biblical principles throughout the day, because you started homeschooling before there was a huge wave of homeschools. It was growing, certainly, but it was in still early days.
It was early days. It was 1992. Mary, our oldest, was 5, and she was definitely ready. She was colored out. She was done with coloring books. And I mean, she still loved to color. She's very artistic. But, you know, she was definitely wanting more. Bruce actually had started talking about homeschooling when she was a baby. And I was pretty freaked out by it because I was like, I'm a nurse. I'm not a teacher. But thankfully, he was patient with me and just kept sowing the seeds and giving me the vision. So eventually, thankfully, by that time, there were several curriculums available that you could order. And so being brand new at it, I really wanted something to follow. So we actually purchased a curriculum called Covenant Home Curriculum. It was a great stepping stone for me, and it didn't take long for me to just begin to love it. And truly, I can say after, homeschooling for many, many years, at all levels, teaching my kids to read was probably the greatest delight of that homeschooling journey. You have this picture of what it's supposed to look like. And it's, you know, you're in the nitty gritty of homeschooling. It's like, you know, things don't land perfectly all the time. But it's a goal, you know, there's a goal out there, and you just walk it little by little and you learn little by little. And, you know, Bruce would always, you know, in the very beginning, he was sharing Deuteronomy 6 with me and the verse about, you know, you shall teach your children diligently. You shall talk about the scriptures, you know, when you're with your children, when you sit in your house and when you walk along the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And I just began to have such a thrill and a desire for that. And I began to understand why homeschooling could be just not just a way to educate our children, but just to disciple them and to have an incredible relationship with our children. So just, you know, subjects, you know, I had a decent schooling, I would say, but not stellar. You know, I feel like I came out of school with a lot of gaps, and but subjects began to take on a whole new delight for me as I was teaching them to my kids. I was relearning everything, and it was so exciting for me. And I began to just see God's purpose in history and in math and in the order of language and all of these things. and we talked about the Lord in every subject. And so, how, all of the information of the world, that it points to who God is and his order and his beauty. So it was really such a special gift to me that when Bruce first announced it, I had a lot of skepticism about. So that was, I guess aside from moving across the country, that was one of the early big challenges for me to come alongside with Bruce's vision.
And you ended up actually homeschooling for 27 years in all. So that's amazing for someone who was very hesitant to step into it, to really have a career as a teacher.
Yes. Very unexpected.
When Bruce graduated from seminary, he was ordained, you were really expecting to move back to Iowa, but God had other plans. Didn't he share about where he took you?
We had hoped to go back to Iowa. Of course, we had told our parents we're coming back. But, God just didn't open that door. And Bruce had been filling the pulpit a couple times down in a church in North Carolina in the mountains, very rural mountain country people. I would say it was our first cross-cultural experience, so to speak. Really, God even preparing us for future missions and things like that. But doors weren't opening in Iowa, and they wanted Bruce to come and be their pastor. And we had fallen in love with them just the few times that we had visited, and it just felt right. We were pinching ourselves, saying, "Are we actually doing this? Are we actually moving to the mountains of North Carolina?" We just felt drawn. It was, again, exciting and crazy and unknown to us. It turned out to be a very incredible, beautiful experience.
So eventually, God did lead you back to Virginia to serve actually at the same church you had attended when Bruce was in school. And at the same time, your family was growing. You wanted to fulfill your dream family of four kids, but things didn't really go as planned. Share about that season and the disappointments, the heartache, and how you got through it.
Yeah, so actually this started when we were still in North Carolina. My mom had two girls, and then she had like a 6-year gap, and then had a couple more. And I always loved, that aspect of our family. And so that was kind of always my dream, to kind of do it like mom did, but not have quite the big gap. But anyway, so we wanted to have more children. We still only had the two. And eventually I got pregnant. And actually, it was much later because we had been on some mission trips and had to take medicine and different things that, made us wait. But eventually I had our third child while we were still in North Carolina. So Daniel, our third, was 7 years younger than his older brother, David. So they were 7 and 9 when Daniel was born. And so again, I thought 2 years apart was perfect. Mary and David were exactly 2 years apart. That's what I wanted to do with my next two, because I just wanted them to be friends. I wanted them to have each other. I didn't want them to be too far apart. You come up with all these perfect scenarios sometimes. And we wanted another child. I got pregnant while we were still in North Carolina. This baby was going to be due exactly 2 years after Daniel, but I lost that baby pretty early on. So I was like, okay, Lord, just trust you. So eventually I got pregnant again. I guess there was going to be maybe 3 years between them, and I lost that baby. Pregnant a third time. By this time, we had been asked to come to Virginia, and Bruce had accepted a position to pastor there. We drove here to look for a home, and while we were in the hotel, I miscarried a third time, and I was heartbroken. and confused, very confused. Even being a nurse, I seriously just did not have a clue of what was going on. I was so, I was just very upset and bewildered. You know, what, you know, why did I have three, you know, successful pregnancies? Why is this happening to me now? I never actually thought about the fact that I was quite a bit older, which I should have thought about. So we came to KPC. They just welcomed us so lovingly. And it was wonderful to be back in a church that we had had history with, had been a part of, and already had some good friends there. You know, I had to surrender my expectations, Jody, my plans, my perfect picture. You know, part of the processing of the grief, we did it in a lot of different ways, but we planted a perennial flower bush, sometimes a rose bush, sometimes it wasn't always rose bushes, but every time we lost a baby, we would plant a beautiful plant. And, you know, I truly believe that I would see those children someday. And I don't know how that works in God's economy. I'm trusting him. but, you know, before we got married, Bruce and I had picked out 7 names for our children, you know, which just sounds crazy to think about. You know, we did, actually have 7 pregnancies in the end. Eventually, I did get pregnant again, and God gave us Samuel. And he is such a gift, and he's named Samuel because, like Hannah, I cried out to God and prayed for him, and that's what Samuel means, asked of God or heard of God. And so, but you know, God was present in my grief, and he taught me a lot through that grief, and I had to decide, you know, what I was going to focus on. Was I going to focus on my loss? Or was I going to trust God and believe that through loss, you know, I could have gain, you know, by just believing him? It definitely took faith to hope for another child. And I just believe God gave me that faith. I know that's not everybody's story. I know there's many women out there, you know, that's where their story ended. And so I definitely... just acknowledge that pain for sure. I just believe that God is at work in everything. That's where I had to land, you know, in that grief and in that loss. And, you know, I think the other beautiful part about it is that I was able to minister because I had that experience. I was able to minister to other young women going through that. I really hadn't met a lot of women, or at least women hadn't shared with me that they'd had a miscarriage. I hadn't, until I was in it personally, I really didn't have a lot of knowledge or experience of it personally with other, even with friends or anything. But, you know, I love that verse in 2 Corinthians where it talks about how, you know, blessed be God who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort that we ourselves received from God. And that is so true. I'm just thankful. I have learned over the years to be thankful for whatever God brings me. That he doesn't waste anything, you know, not even loss. You know, we can always trust him.
Yeah, and you talked about how the Lord started opening doors for you to minister to other women who were experiencing the grief of miscarriage. And he was opening other doors for you, other opportunities for you to minister to moms, not just women who suffered miscarriage, but also moms. And you were able to draw on your experiences as a nurse, as a mom yourself, as, you know, in homeschooling. How did you see God working through you in that way as you were, you know, integrating into this, back into this church and kind of taking on a new role there?
Yeah. So, you know, it's just, I think God uses every experience of our life, every season of our life to mold us, shape us, teach us. And, you know, being a nurse was a wonderful vocation, and it taught me so much. And in many ways, it prepared me for motherhood. But, you know, when I became a mother, I really began to see that as my forever job. And I really wanted to embrace it to its fullest. And just, you know, as I experienced different things and learned, you know, fell on my face and had to pick myself back up, had to cry out to God, had to read his word. I love how David preaches to himself in the Psalms, you know, when he's grieving, but then he preaches to himself the truth of who God is and God's faithfulness. And really that's, I think, you know, there's so many experiences in a mom. Being a mom is very dynamic. It's always changing. You know, there are always new seasons, new, you know, hurdles to jump over, and things to figure out. And so, you know, by God's grace, you know, I walked through that, not without, you know, tripping over the hurdle for sure and skinning my knees. I definitely, you know, had scars. But as I went through and just continued to grow, I got involved in some young mothers groups. The first one was called Nurturing a Mother's Heart, led by our pastor's wife, Helen Atwood. And but it was such a large group that she needed small group leaders. And so I was one of 6 or 8 of those small group leaders. And so we had a smaller group of maybe 6 women that we sort of, you know, got to love and mentor and just be there to process life with. So that was an opportunity after Helen left our church. Me and a couple other women, Donna Gorman and Kelly Florence, started a similar group, but we called it Inspired Moms. And so again, the whole purpose was to encourage young mothers, wives, women as their walk in all of those roles, and just give, you know, help them to cling to Jesus and the hope of God's word and the truth of God's word. And part of that was just, you know, not just motherhood, but marriage. You know, I think the longer I was married, the greater I understood God's design for marriage and the needs of my husband, which I had often misunderstood. You know, I didn't grow up with any brothers. Seriously, when I got married, I thought Bruce would think just like I did. And when he didn't, I just did not understand. So, you know, God opened lots of doors to just share my failings and, you know, my new understanding that the Lord had given me. And the, you know, the fruit of the Spirit that he was bringing into my life. Through the things that I didn't always understand or didn't feel comfortable for me.
And in your and Bruce's marriage and your learning about the way men think and the relationship between husband and wife and parents and children, one of the ways God used that to teach you was through family retreats that you started having. And the goal of it was really intentionally to guide your children in their faith. But God was using that in your life as well to reveal some deep-seated fears that you had to deal with. Explain a little bit about what those retreats were even like and what God was working in you.
Just in line with that, what God was teaching me about marriage and mothering and all of those things, just that Titus 2 verse has always been, especially as I got into ministry with young mothers, just that, you know, the older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their husbands. And then this is the kicker, which is the end of that verse, so that the word of God may not be reviled. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, why do we love our husbands? Why do we want to serve them? Why do we want to come alongside them and support them? Why do we want to teach our children and train them in the Lord, you know, so that the word of God may not be reviled, so that others will look and see and want to know that Jesus that you rely on every day. So that's just really, you know, dear to my heart and my experience.
Well, Ellie, as you look back over your journey, what is a key principle or key truth that you want to share with others that could help them as they're struggling through the challenges that face us every day?
You know, Bruce is always has been a mover shaker kind of guy. I think this was when we were in North Carolina, he went to a conference called The Inheritance of the Heart. And he was just so impressed with the teaching there. And you know, what he was learning was just that, you know, we're passing the inheritance of our relationship with God onto our children. That we want to share that heart love, that heart just desire with our children. And so when he came home from that conference, he decided that we were going to start having family retreats, yearly family retreats, to intentionally, you know, guide our children. And you know, he would plan it all out. He would make a notebook. He would, you know, make it just like a conference. You know, everybody had their own notebook. You know, we had an agenda with even the fun things. Okay, now we get to go play putt-putt golf or whatever it was, you know, that he would. But we would definitely have times of just talking about the Lord, praying together, reading God's word. But, you know, he started out with teaching us about our identity. And so it was really beautiful. So he had sort of a lettering nomenclature for each of us. So for me, it was CCAE. So the first C standard for I'm a creation of God. So we focused on that, just the fact that we are creations of God. Then the second C was I'm a Christian. You know, that was a decision that obviously not without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, but that, you know, we gave our lives to Christ. And became Christians. And then third one, the A, was I'm an Anderson. That's part of my identity. Even though I'm married into that name, you know, by God's divine purpose, I became Ellen Anderson instead of Ellen Strasberg. So that became part of my identity. And then the last one was the E, and that's I'm Ellie. You know, who did God really, you know, what did God instill in Ellie particularly? You know, he did this with each of us, each of the kids had, we made t-shirts with CCAE, CCAM. So it was really a sweet time, but we also developed a family mission statement, personal mission statements. We created a family coat of arms together. And in our family coat of arms, I don't know if any of you are familiar with coats of arms, but often there's a hand coming out of the top of a helmet. And our hand was holding four arrows, which stood for our four children. Actually, our first family retreat was before Samuel was born, so it had three arrows, but we had to add an arrow. So the challenging thing for me in the beginning, I think overall the challenging thing was, you know, just that we went on these retreats every year and they were a little overwhelming to me. We always went in December, early December, which was I was always like, why do we have to go right before Christmas when I'm just trying to do all these, get ready for Christmas? You know, I'm just thinking practically, not spiritually. And the Lord really just had to humble me and teach me and, you know, teach me to submit and ultimately to be so thankful for a husband and a father that would lead us in this. The other part of the struggle was some of the things that Bruce would have us do. And often he, in the very beginning, he was having us, even the children look out at our lives years down the road. And, you know, we had to even write out like what we wanted people to say about us after we had passed away. He wanted me to picture what was I going to be doing in 25 years. And seriously, Jody, that was very intimidating to me because I was an all in it mom. This was my dream. This was my, you know, I won't say it was my life because God was my life, but you know, God had given me the gift of motherhood and I was pouring a lot into it. And it was of course a huge part of my everyday existence. And even more so as a homeschooling mother, because it wasn't like they went away for the day. You know, we were together all the time. So, you know, he challenged me to think about that, to think, what would I be doing, you know, when my kids were grown? And I seriously, it was terrifying to me to think about that because I had laid down nursing. I was full on into homeschooling. The thought of having to go back into nursing was a little scary to me because things in the medical world change, you know, frequently. And, you know, it's exponential. You know, if you look at the medical world, you know, even someone that's not in that can see how much it's, you know, how quickly it advances. So, you know, just there was fear of maybe having to go back into that world after, you know, potentially being out for 20 some years. I could not picture what fruitful anything I could be doing after my kids were grown and out of the house. So yeah, that was a challenge for me. And I, you know, it was something I definitely, had to pray through. Our youngest, finally, you know, went to college. He graduated in 2019. And actually that was right on the cusp of COVID. So actually ended up staying home and doing community college just here at home. But in his latter high school years, I started branching out a little bit. We were involved in a classical homeschooling organization called Classical Conversations. So I started being a tutor within that. And then at one point I became a support representative for that, where I oversaw different communities. So I did a few things within that organization that paid very little, but paid a little. I also started aiding and substitute teaching a little bit here and there at a Christian school out here in Suffolk called Suffolk Christian Academy, which was, you know, a great experience. And I loved the people that I worked with there. So I was doing a few things, you know, while Samuel finished high school. But once he was truly done and actually getting ready to go off to Virginia Tech, I was no longer working for Classical Conversations. I was still substitute teaching. It was wonderful being in a Christian school, but it's just a different experience than homeschooling your kids. And you don't feel like as a substitute teacher that you can make much of an impact. So I just wasn't feeling like that was my future. And so I was praying about, you know, nursing and different things. It was interesting. I was just checking my email. I saw an email from the Crisis Pregnancy Center that said they were hiring. And, you know, we had always known about the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Our churches had always supported it. We had supported it by doing the, you know, the fill the baby bottle drives and the baby showers and different things like that. But I truly did not know what they did in the background other than supporting young, you know, mothers that maybe didn't have a lot of resources. But I saw this email that they were hiring and it just caught my attention. And so I pulled up the email, started looking at it, and I was reading a job description for patient advocate. I was just kind of taken aback by it because I actually was, you know, reading the job description and it was saying, you know, do you like to meet with women one-on-one, which is really what I was doing a lot in the mothers groups. I'm not really an upfront speaker. I did do that a couple times as a pastor's wife, and I probably should have declined the invitation because it's definitely not my strength, but I do love one-on-one. Would you like to reinforce the humanity of the unborn child with patience? Would you like to show compassion and be able to share Jesus Christ with young women who are in a crisis pregnancy and counsel them toward a life-giving decision? And, and then also thinking back to my experience as a postpartum and newborn nursery nurse, it was just kind of all coming together as I was reading this job description. And I was just kind of very surprised, because when I tried really hard, like when Bruce was asking me, what are you going to do 25 years later or 30 years later? I couldn't think of anything. And all of a sudden I'm reading this job description. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, could you have something like this for me? I was just so amazed and yet, just hesitant. But I brought it to Bruce and I said, honey, will you please pray about this with me? Because I'm feeling really just drawn to this. And so we prayed and he said, yeah, I think you should, apply. Let's see what happens. So I did apply, and I actually got hired 3 years ago in, it'll be June 1st, will be my third year anniversary of my first day on the job. It was really one of those times in your life where you see that God was taking care of you all along, and he had things figured out before you had to figure them out. Again, just solidifying my trust in our gracious Father, such a gift to me. And I am still there after 3 years and still love it. Life as a wife and a mother is so dynamic. There's so much change and there is so much to learn. But, it's such a wonderful journey. And I guess I just want to say, don't feel like you have to figure it out ahead of time. God is directing you. And the fear that I had about each season really was not worth it. God had it planned all along. And I think a lot of women fear that if they, for instance, marry someone, and particularly maybe someone with a strong personality or a strong vision, like my husband had, and if they let him lead, that they won't be fulfilled, that they'll lose their footing, lose their independence, and feel worthless. But God's purpose in salvation, first of all, is to free us of that independence. That independence is really not of God. We need to be dependent on him. We are dead in ourselves. So that's the first truth, but in marriage also, God is freeing us from independence. But I just want to say to you, young women, if you're in the early part of your marriage or you're not married yet, marriage is not about loss. It is about gain. We have to rely on God as he makes us one. And that's what he does in marriage. It's something spiritually happens on that altar. This is as you make your vows to one another. It's incredible. It's spiritual. And, we can't have two late leaders, or at least not two trying to lead in the exact same areas, I will say. When we trust God's word and we trust the man that he's given us, we can know that God will, in all of our serving, submitting, obeying, following, following your husband halfway across the country, following your husband when he says you should homeschool, on all kinds of things, and in all your growing in God, that he is going to perform in us and accomplish in us his desires. And we will be far more fulfilled than if we did things our own way and in our own strength. And really, you know, isn't that what we want? Isn't, you know, what we want is for God to make us into what he planned all along. I could have never written out my life the way that it has transpired ahead of time. I could have never imagined the gifts and the joy and the fulfillment that I have now. I've done so many things in my, you know, married to Bruce that I never would have initiated on my own, you know, moving across the country with two small children in my early 20s, you know, homeschooling my kids, buying houses. You know, that was terrifying to me, buying houses that were way more expensive than I thought we should be purchasing. Traveling, you know, I've traveled with Bruce's to countries and places that are not really considered vacation destinations. I'll just say that.
Well, as we close, Ellie, would you share about a woman in the Bible who's inspired or encouraged or taught you something?
Yes. You know, well, I always think of Hannah because she cried out to the Lord for a child. And of course, I did as well. But, you know, really, I think my favorite woman of the Bible is Ruth. Ruth had everything against her. But even in her heartbroken life, she chose to take a hard and difficult and even harder and more difficult road to follow Naomi to a country and a nation and a people that she did not know. She must have seen something in Naomi that spoke about Naomi's God to make her want to do that. And it's incredible when we think of how she left everything, everything that she knew and what she was most definitely probably comfortable with in her life, including her own family, to choose to follow God. And of course, we know that God had an amazing plan for her and how she became one of the great grandmothers of Jesus. So I really do just love that story of Ruth. And, you know, if I can, I just want to share a final psalm, which I just love this psalm. And I guess it kind of summarizes hopefully what I shared today in sharing my life. And it's out of Psalm 143, verse 8, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I've put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life."
You know, listening to your story also brings me back to a psalm. It's one we used to sing, actually, out of the New King James Version, but it's Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8. The King James Version says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright." New International Version reads, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm." You know, it's okay to have dreams and plans as we move forward in life. I did. Ellie did. It gets us moving, but we have to remember Proverbs 19:21 says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purposes will prevail." So as we make our plans, as we make our dreams, if we hold them loosely and allow God to shift and change them, we'll see how loving and good God is and that he has our best in mind. We can trust him with our expectations when our expectations are not met or when our plans seem to fall apart, because his plans for us are better than our plans for us. He knows us better than we know ourselves because he created us. Ellie, would you take a moment, pray for our listeners?
Father, we're so grateful that we can put our trust in you, God. That your unfailing love is always there for us. And that our identity is in you, and that your purposes are beyond our understanding, God, but we can trust you to bring them forth as we seek your face and as we put our hope in you alone, God, and in your word. So help us, God. Help us to be obedient to what you teach us and to take those steps of faith, God, however you might be leading us, whether it's through an older mother, an older woman, our husbands, just our pastor, Lord, or different circumstances in life, however you're leading us, Lord, we just pray that you will, I pray that you will give these women courage, Father, courage and faith and hope in you. You are our ultimate hope and our fulfillment, and we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name.
If you have not heard, the Somebody Cares Widow and Orphan Fund was developed to help widows as well as unaccompanied children who have special needs. James 1:27 tells us that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. You can do that in part by joining the growing number of others who give to our Widow and Orphan Fund. Together, we can be a tangible expression of God's love to those with special needs, like helping a young widow with two children relocate to a safer place after war broke out in her country, or building an indoor bathroom facility for orphaned girls in Kenya. If you haven't joined us yet, would you consider giving a special gift to help? Just go to the hergodstory.org website and click on the Widow and Orphan tab at the top of the page. And thank you for tuning in. Check out the show notes at hergodstory.org for scriptures and other information we talked about. And remember to get your free 6-week or devotional on Women of the Bible, or purchase a 12-week devotional for just $12, knowing that all the proceeds go to support our Widow and Orphan Fund. We would also love to pray with you on our 24/7 prayer and text line. So give us a call or text anytime at 855-459-CARE. Or email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. And now, dear friends, I leave you with a blessing adapted from Psalm 125, verse 1. Because you trust in the Lord, you are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.